The Whiz Kids had won it, Bobby Thompson had done it, and Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born, marijuana we would scorn, so down on the corner the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball, Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball, the man and Bobby Feller, the scooter, the barber and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque, especially Willie, Mickey and the Duke. Well, Casey was winning, Hank Aaron was beginning, one Robbie going out, one coming in. Kiner and Midget Goodell, the Thumper and Mel Parnell, and Ike was the only one winning down in Washington. I'm talking baseball, Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball, the man and Bobby Feller, the scooter, the barber and the duke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque, especially Willie, Mickey and the Duke. Now my old friend, the Bachelor, well, he swore he was the Oklahoma kid, and Cookie played hooky to go and see the Duke. And me, I always loved Willie Mae. Those were the
Yes, indeed. Those were the days, and we are talking baseball. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm Steve Aronson, and have some very special guests tonight. The voice of the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, Matt Province. Sales Partnership Manager, Pete Candianis, who is also, by the way, a voice in his own right, being public address announcers for the likes of Lafayette College and Cedar Crest College and Moravian College, and somebody called the 87s, the Delaware 87s, right, Pete?
Yeah, they're the good evening, Steve. They're the developmental league team for the Philadelphia 76ers playing basketball down in Newark, Delaware.
Also want to welcome number A1 Iron Pigs fan, Rosalie Viscomi. Now, 2016 was a very good year for the Iron Pigs, their best record ever, a second-place finish, a wild-card playoff appearance. So as we get closer to opening day, and by the way, folks, that's only 2 weeks away, we'll take a look back at our last season and a look ahead to 2017, which just so happens to be the 10th anniversary season for the Iron Pigs. In conjunction with that, we'll reminisce about some highlights and maybe some lowlights over the years, maybe some funny stuff. And we're also going to be talking about some aspects of the organization that listeners may not be familiar with, Iron Pigs Charities. So as I mentioned, they had the best record ever, Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs did, 85 wins and 58 losses, a wild-card playoff berth. Now, Matt, I'm going to ask you what you attribute the big turnaround from a very poor season in 2015 when they only won 63 games.
Well, first of all, Steve, thanks for having me. Good to see you and Rosalie wearing your Iron Pigs Bacon USA member jerseys, which, of course, you get for being ticket holders, or as we call you guys now, we're very thankful to call you members because you are a big part of what we do and all the people who come out regularly. So we do thank you for that. Team itself, baseball's kind of funny. Minor league baseball, you can't look at it like Major League Baseball or any of the other professional high-level sports teams such as the NBA teams or the NFL, because you really don't build. One year you might be great, the next year you might not be so great, and really that's all at the mercy of your parent club, in our case the Philadelphia Phillies. Really, Steve, I think what you saw last year was the first wave of all those poor years in the minor leagues when the Phillies were so good at the major leagues. All those trades, all the revamping they did as they kind of got over the old Phillies and became the new Phillies. That made us better. We got a lot of prospects in the system. Guys who were young prospects several years ago kind of rose the ranks and got to the AAA level where we were, got to the AA level where Reading had the second best record in all of minor league baseball. And I think between those guys last year and the guys that were a part of our team in 2016, we should be, you'd have to think, even better than we were a year ago. And by the way, last year we did have our best record all time, I should point out. So it should be a very exciting 2017, perfect for the 10th year anniversary season.
In conjunction with last season also, over 611,000 fans came through the gates last year at Coca-Cola Park, which is third highest in the International League, 14-team International League. How do the Iron Pigs, and maybe you can weigh in on this too, Pete, how do the Iron Pigs consistently maintain such high attendance numbers?
I'll start it off, and Pete might come in for a save, if not maybe a hold. really, you look at it, and we have a great area. Our region's great baseball fans. We're blessed to be in a terrific area. The economy in the Lehigh Valley has been strong. You could tell by the way this place has grown over the last 10 years since we've been in existence. So, I mean, you really have to credit the people here, the economy, the fans. But you know what? You credit our ownership. And I can't take credit for this, as you know, Steve, and Rosalie, you know as well. It's not a ton to do with me, but like our management. You have people who invest back in the program. We'll talk a little bit later about some of the new features at the ballpark. But some teams don't reinvest those dollars to make the facility better, to keep it as clean as Coca-Cola Park is, to add as many giveaways, to do as many promotions. And so when you do all those things and you reinvest in your product, it makes it new and fresh for anybody who comes out. As much as you guys come out, as many years as you've come out, there's still something that you're going to see opening day that you didn't see last year. And then, on that first Friday night that you didn't see on opening night. And that's all planning, that's all vision, but that's also reinvesting in the operation. And that's what our owners and then Kurt Landis, who's our general manager, do so well to make sure that we stay fun, exciting, new, fresh, and innovative.
Well, over the 10-year period that we've been going, we've certainly seen all of that, and looking forward to this 10th anniversary season. Even the Iron Pigs, as we have been saying, had their best season ever. And despite that, Dave Brundage was relieved of his managerial duties and replaced by Dusty Wathem. Now, I understand how successful Dusty Wathem has been. As you said, second best record in minor league baseball last year and consistently managing winning teams in Reading. But isn't it sometimes rather unusual for a manager to be let go after being so successful in a particular season?
Well, not necessarily, because it's not about winning per se at this level. It's different, in the major leagues, if that were to happen, there'd be an uproar. You're right. I mean, it would be like, what the heck is going on? Head scratcher. But you have to understand, too, that at this level, it's about developing players. And it's not that Dave Brundage didn't do a very good job at doing that. I mean, look at the guys that went up. They've helped out. The thing of it is that you have a manager down in AA who has been there for a while, younger guy, a pedigree of a father who is also a major league catcher and a major league manager with the Kansas City Royals.
John Wathem.
Yep. I probably remember him when I was growing up. He was, one of the top catchers in the American League when the Royals were as good as any team around. And so they had to do something with him, and so Dave Brundage, like a veteran player who's trying to get back to the major leagues, lost his spot, not necessarily because his skill got lower, but because there's a hot prospect pushing him out of the way. It's just like the players. Fortunately, Dave Brundage did catch on. He's going to be the AAA manager in the San Francisco Giants organization. Personally, I'll miss him. Great guy, and I thought he did a great job, but that's the nature of the business, and now you're going to have a young just into his 40s manager in Dusty Wathem, who could be more of a managerial prospect than Dave Brundage, who may have been a better organizational AAA manager. And down the road, the Phillies are going to come calling. Pete McCann is not a young guy, so they see this as a grooming process for a guy that could take over as the next Phillies manager down the road.
2016 was a banner year for the Iron Pigs, and I'm sure there are a lot of highlights that we can talk about, but what I would like to do is ask all of you if anything particular stood out in 2016. Matt, you can start.
I was going to defer. I've been talking on. I'm chewing up all your time here. Okay, I'll get this off my chest, and then we'll pass it over to Pete. Just getting into the playoffs. We did in 2011. But when we did it in 2011, as maybe we'll talk about later when we look back at the 10 years, we had a bunch of vagabonds, minor league veterans, journeymen. It was like a Bull Durham movie every time I went to the ballpark in 2011. So this was a different type of playoff run because this was young guys who really didn't know any better because they were so young and so talented. And for me, I'm all about the wins. I'm all about seeing the Iron Pigs win. I'm the old school. I don't need the fireworks. I don't need the giveaways. I don't need the promotions. I need wins. Okay, I need this team to be competitive, and that's what they were last year. And they did it the right way. They did it with young guys, not just retread. So for me, maybe the most special year to call 143 games. We did ever rain 143 games.
It's only going to be 143 this year as well.
What, 142, yeah. Which is, for the purists, it's disappointing, but that's the business.
How did that actually happen?
It's a players' union thing, you know. You know, you look at the NBA, guys rest. You know, now in minor league baseball, 144 is too many. You got to give them an extra couple of days off.
Well,
it'll be 140 the following year, potentially, too. So, I mean, it's a trend. You know, whether or not there's a need for it, I thought the more games, the better, develop prospects and give guys days off so other guys could get a chance. So, for me, it's almost a step in the wrong direction, but I'm not paying the salaries or the medical bills, so easy for me to say.
140 games. Mm. Well, the thing about minor league baseball also is they don't get many days off in a month. They play almost an entire month. They maybe get one off day in a month as they go through the season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to feel sorry for anybody. I mean, I have the same schedule. That's what you sign up for. Steve, the beauty is that, you know what? So what? If you want to give a guy a day off, give a guy a day off, you know, and then let the other guy play. You know, we're going to talk about this later when we talk about the 2017 Iron Pigs, but, you know, what are you going to do when Brock Stassi and Andrew Knapp don't have an everyday spot, but they need at-bats? You know, someone gets a day off, you know, and that's the beauty of having that full minor league schedule. Maybe not for the coaches who got to work every game, but for the players. We'll talk a little bit more about that. I know Pete's had some exciting times in 2016, and I'll pass the mic here and let somebody else do some yapping.
Well, you asked how we get 600,000 fans out to Coca-Cola Park every year. And one of the attractive things about baseball is you always go to the park, as Rosalie could say. You always have the opportunity to see something you've never seen before. No matter how much baseball you watch, there's always something interesting that happens or could potentially happen. And Matt called this game, and I remember hearing his call from outside the radio booth. We had a pitcher throw two passed balls on intentional walks, and we won the game. That was exciting. At the end of the game, you really thought that the Pigs couldn't possibly come back, and they brought in a young AAA pitcher who couldn't make the connection for the intentional walk, and we ended up winning the game in spectacular fashion. And you had to stay right to the bottom of the night to see the most exciting thing that happened all night, and that's the great thing about watching baseball. Something could always happen that you've never seen before.
That's why I never like to leave the game before the game is over, because you never know what you're going to see, and then you miss that great whatever it was that happened . So I see these people leaving when the score is, you know, not in the Iron Pigs' favor, or it's like so lopsided, and I say, don't leave yet, because it can change, and it has.
A big mea culpa. I think that was one of the games we actually did leave early. We heard
full confession.
We heard the call on the radio, but we were not there. So normally, Rosalie's right, though. We do stay until sometimes the bitter end. But last year was a lot more. I'm reaching for a word. Worthwhile to stay to the end, because things happened. Things did happen, and the Iron Pigs had a very successful season.
It was. It was very exciting to be at the ballpark and to say, hey, they're winning. And what's different about this season than in previous seasons? And it was just very nice and enjoyable to be at the ballpark and to say, wow, that felt good. They won another one. So yeah.
Before I get to Rosalie's highlight for 2016, I want to go back to Pete for a second. Field timing coordinator.
Yes, that's my title. That was my title.
Now you're a sales manager for business partnerships. Is that
manager corporate partnerships? Yeah, that's right.
Okay, but tell us a little bit about being a field timing coordinator.
Well, you know, it's a job that and rightly so. It should be in the background. It shouldn't get a lot of attention. It's just a tool we provide for the umpires to help the game moving along. And the umpires can choose to or not to enforce the clock. And I think what the umpires like to do is use it to motivate the players to keep moving. And I've talked to them, and they feel like if a player is going through his progressions and he's moving right along, there's no reason to stop the game and call a strike or a ball and further delay the game. But if they see a player who's deliberately going slow or trying to get some sort of advantage from dragging things out, then they'll use the clock as a tool to keep them moving. And from my point of view, it's just 3 hours concentrating on the games, watching a lot of physical cues by the players, by the umpires, and just try and do it consistently and correctly every time, so that if the umpires do choose to use it as a tool, it's there and it's accurate. They did call a strike at Coca-Cola Park last year, and the umpire came out, and the manager of the opposing team came out and argued with the umpire, and he was able to tell him that the clock's right. They did it correctly, and the call stood. It didn't happen very often, but it shouldn't. The clocks shouldn't be part of the game. It should just be a tool that the umpires use. And I try to do it accurately and consistently, so that tool's there should they choose to use it.
You're not going to be doing that this year anymore, or are you?
No, I may help out from time to time, or the guy that's taking over for me, he did it last year. He's very good, and we brought a young guy in to take my spot between the two of them, or maybe the three of them. They're going to do a great job this year.
Okay, Rosalie, your turn. I'm going to ask you, was there anything that stood out particularly for you in 2016? And as a sub-question, why do you continue to be part of the 600,000 people that go through the gates?
Well, the great season on the part of the Iron Pigs certainly made it a wonderful season. But one particular game in June, you know, we see a lot of foul balls come into our territory, and I'm always ducking or trying to get away so I don't want to get hit by the ball. And this one game in particular, the foul ball landed right in my lap. And I was like,
wow.
Oh, okay. Well,
didn't have to move?
Well,
didn't have to move one bit.
Didn't have to move. No, I got it right there. Didn't have to even move. But it wasn't just any player, and it was our favorite player. We usually choose a player each season, and this past season it was Cam Perkins, and he happened to be the player who hit the foul ball up there. Well, prior to the ball landing in my lap, a T-shirt came up my way, and there were some kids in front of us, and they looked up, and I threw the T-shirt down to the kids, you know, and they were so happy. So when they saw the ball come up at me, and they looked up at me, and I just shook my head. No, you're not getting this one. Anybody else, I would, you know, would just, you can have it. But I kept the ball. We were able to get it signed, and it's just a nice experience.
That's a great memory.
Great memory.
And why do you continue to?
Why do I continue to go to these games? I am hooked. I am a newcomer to baseball. Iron Pigs brought me into baseball. So this is the 10th season, and I just love the atmosphere. I love the fans and friends that we've made, that we meet at the ballpark. It's just a social setting. The staff at the Iron Pigs, very welcoming. The giveaways are fun and usually determine whether or not I'll give up a ticket or not to a game because, oh, no, I want that. And we kind of have gotten overload of giveaways, but I have them all with notebooks from each season that I keep clippings of articles from the paper and just anything about Iron Pigs, plus all of those giveaways and programs. I keep programs from every season also. So we're going to have to invest in another apartment or a unit or something to store all of the belongings.
If I may just add something real quickly, Cam Perkins homered today. Well, you mentioned he was your favorite. I was doing some work as you were talking there. The results from today's spring training game popped in, so I had to tweet out the results. And
that's
of
great.
Of the 6 home runs hit by the Iron Pigs to be, Perkins had one.
Very good. Good news. Thanks, Matt.
We're going to talk about whether he may or may not be with us next year. Some of the giveaways, by the way, the great barbecue set, and some of the little things that you think you're going to be getting a huge piece of equipment here, it turned out to be not so much. Anyway, we'll talk about giveaways a little later.
Are you trying to say your plastic pizza cutter didn't get through the crust of your DiGiorno? I mean, what's going on here? You must have gotten the dud, the lemon.
Didn't get through a banana either, right? Okay, this is a good time, I think, to take a break. Steve Aronson and the voice of the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs here for Lehigh Valley Discourse, Matt Province, and corporate sales manager Pete Candianis, and Iron Pigs fan number one, Rosalie Viscomi. We're all here on Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we'll be back right after this message.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Discourse. It's Iron Pigs Night, and we are discussing, well, we discussed last season, and we're going to be discussing next season. But before we do that, I think we need to talk about all the action that's been going on in the off season. Things have not been quiet at Coca-Cola Park. And among the things that have taken place is that the Iron Pigs have come to an agreement with the Phillies again to continue their affiliation until at least 2020. What does all of that mean?
Well, in a nutshell, it provides the Lehigh Valley protection of having a team. Now, the way that the agreement between Major and Minor League Baseball works, you can't really get boxed out if you have an operation or a franchise. In other words, if the Phillies said, you know what, I've had enough of the Lehigh Valley for whatever the reason. Maybe they just get tired of the traffic on 22. I don't know. But if they ever did and they wanted to pull out, they would not be able to leave unless another Major League team would come into the Lehigh Valley. Now, That's the basic, but the good news is people want the Phillies. You know, that's still their neck of the woods. Yeah, we have some Yankee fans and some Met fans in our area, some Red Sox fans, but at the end of the day, you have more Phillies fans in the Valley than anything else. It's so close to Philadelphia. It's great for the Phillies because, first of all, they have a first-class facility that, you know, again, the team reinvests in. In fact, don't forget about the brand-new field that was put in the offseason, too, so the brand-new playing surface really is done for nothing else other than to appease the big league team. But then, you know, you also have that proximity. If someone gets hurt at 3 o'clock for the Phillies or comes down with a headache or a migraine or can't play, literally within an hour, 10 minutes, barring traffic, of course, they could be down in Philadelphia as quick as BP. Or you know, if someone gets hurt in BP, we could have someone in Philadelphia before first pitch. That is a huge factor as well. So these things make it a win-win for both the Phillies and for us.
Technology has come to Coca-Cola Park even more than it has been in the past. I understand there's a new scoreboard and some new uniforms with an unusual feature.
Yeah, the reflective writing where it says Iron Pigs for our 10th anniversary. You got some reflective material where it says Iron Pigs. It's going to be something unique, something interesting. You mentioned our new video board, 43 by 73 in HD. It's going to be the largest HD scoreboard in minor league baseball. We've got a supporting 130-foot ribbon board next to it. We've got gigantic 30-foot boards on the first and third base side. It's going to be a great presentation for the fans this year.
And the uniform is reflective.
It's beautiful.
Matt, you mentioned the renovation of the field. That's the first time in 10 years, I guess. What I read was there's 95,000 square feet of surface that or grass that had to be handled there.
Extra credit if you can tell me how many blades of grass.
65 million.
I tell you, it's impressive, and people really, it's taken for granted. It's crazy. When you actually play or walk on a major league caliber field, and then you even see even a decent college field, let alone high school fields or city youth fields, it's amazing the difference, and it's crazy. And so obviously the Phillies want that. They want their players to play on only the best. Not only does it prepare them for what they're going to get in the major leagues, but at the same time, the last thing that they want is Michael Franco taking a ball off the nose and missing 6 weeks of his season because of a broken nose on a bad hop. And the field over time gets hard. We had, the field was hardening up a little bit. It gets tougher to keep things even. So when you do a whole real field revamp, you laser grade it, you get new sod, everything's flat, everything's perfect when you begin. And now we just need the snow to get the heck off of it so that we can play in 2 weeks from today.
I was going to get to that maybe a little bit later. But in terms of the field itself, it's gotten a ton of use between the baseball games and some of the other events and so forth that have gone on through the season, maybe close to 700 events at Coca-Cola Park. So I think it was time to maybe take care of that. An interesting thing that's taken place in the offseason at Coca-Cola Park, the netting that protects fans from flying baseballs and flying bats has been upgraded and expanded. Talk about why, what was one of the impetuses for that, and why, and what it's going to look like.
Well, the netting's it's not exactly a cargo net. It's a real high tech fabric. It's very thin. You may notice it when you first sit down, but after a minute or so, it just disappears. And it's strong enough that it'll block balls or bats going in the crowd. And really, balls are something fans are kind of conditioned to keep an eye for. Rosalie dodges and ducks them with the best of them, except when they land in her lap, of course. But bats are concerning. A couple years ago, there was a horrific accident down in Fenway Park where a piece of a shattered bat critically injured a woman who, thank goodness, survived. But, you know, at Coca-Cola Park up in the press box, I've seen a couple bats kind of helicopter into the stands. And that's something you can't catch that or just wave it away. And I'm glad to see the section where those bats typically go in. That's where the netting is. And I think our fans can get peace of mind that something like that's not going to happen at Coca-Cola Park. Balls going into the stands, people are kind of accustomed to that, and they look for it. But this, I think the biggest safety upgrade is, you know, no more flying bats into the crowd.
And as you mentioned, visually, it's going to be quite acceptable.
Yeah, it's very thin. When they put it in, I think our general manager Kurt Landis was talking about the material as being engineered for this purpose, so that visually there's no drop off. I was looking at it today, and you can see the outline of it above, but it really does not degrade the experience at all for the fans. That's second only to the safety of the fans, is that they'd be able to enjoy the game and see it clearly.
Another thing that happened in the offseason was the selection of the 10th anniversary team of the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. Matt and Pete, how did that take place, and what were the ultimate results?
Well, I thought, you know, for somebody like me, this was fun. I mean, this was like kind of a culmination of 9 years now of memories and statistics and accomplishments. So I went through and, you know, at each position basically put, in my opinion, well, you know, statistically as well as from what I've seen, the four top players at every position. And we kept it at 4A to narrow it down a little bit and give us a little bit more control about who is going to be selected. And then plus with Twitter, it allowed us to have four candidates using a Twitter vote so that we could bring it to the fans and make it more interactive. So we would provide each week beginning at the end of November all the way through, you know, February without fail every Monday. Even around the holidays, have a story that featured four players and why you can make a case for either of the four, and then let the fans vote on it. Everything went really well, in my opinion. My only disappointment, Steve, is that, and you're a big Iron Pigs fan, so you'll understand this, when it was time to vote for a right-handed reliever, Scott Matheson had a very good 2 years with Lehigh Valley, but nothing like Luis Garcia has had the last 3 years, where he has been just as dominant a pitcher at this level as you're going to find over the years. Now, my mistake was that when I talked about the election underway for reliever, I used Scott Matheson's Twitter handle. Now, you have to understand that Scott Matheson is a god right now in the Japanese Pacific League, and he has been now since he left the Phillies organization 5 years ago. He's had a brilliant career there. And, you know, there's a fervor and an adamant nature of the Japanese baseball fan right now that may have resembled the American baseball fan in the 30s and 40s. And so all of a sudden you have three times as many votes as you should have, all slanted towards a guy that statistically was inferior to another guy, albeit still a very good candidate. And so my only regret was that I allowed that to happen. And it kind of, to me, mars the 100% accuracy of the team. There were some positions where I was tossed up, and one guy may have won that I wasn't sure would or not, but I was tossed up, and I could live with the results. But that's the one area I thought we kind of shorted the team, because, you know, if it's about accuracy, Luis Garcia is the best reliever, period, we've had in Iron Pigs history, easily, bar none.
Max Zgierski was the other
Yeah, left-handed reliever. Not a whole lot of big names from the left-handed side because it hasn't really been a left-handed closer. You know, we've had some guys like Adam Lowen over the years pitch well for periods of time. But, you know, obviously Andy Tracy was going to be the first baseman you knew going in, and he should be. You know, Eric Kratz, a local kid, the catcher, had some good years with us.
Triple play.
Yeah, the one and only. And you know where I called that triple play from? Any idea?
Well, we were
not the radio booth. I can tell you that much. John Schaefer could tell you too, and he wouldn't say it as kindly as I'm going to say it. We were in the Tiki Terrace in one of those Oasis Islands, calling a baseball game professionally. It was couldn't even see who turned the triple play, but it was awesome. It really was.
We actually got to meet up with Eric Kratz. We took a trip to Pittsburgh last summer. And he was he happened to be with the Pirates at the time, and we got a chance to link up with him. That was a good guy too.
Great guy, really was. So and is.
Yeah, he had scored the only winning run the night before, so his picture was in the paper. So the score was 1-0, Pittsburgh won, and I asked him if he wouldn't mind autographing, and we wore our Iron Pigs gear, so he was all smiles when he saw us with Iron Pigs. So. It was a very nice experience.
I'll share a quick Eric Kratz story, unless you want to move along.
Sure.
We need stories.
All right, so here's my Eric Kratz. So Kratz, great guy, jokester, but all clean-natured fun. He went to Eastern Mennonite. He's got a great family. So he's a family guy, but he's still a jokester in a clean way. And an icebreaker for me every year, it's kind of weird, the first road trip with a new team, because especially last year with a lot of new guys, so they don't know what to make of me, and I don't know what kind of guys these guys are. So we were sitting in a hotel in Rochester eating some lunch, a bunch of us were one day, and you know, it wasn't really part of the conversation. I was on the periphery of the conversation, but not, you know, headlong in it. And everyone was cracking up because there was footage of Eric Kratz as a Houston Astro coming out on opening day. And Rosalie, she knows where I'm going with this. And it was on SportsCenter, and not top 10 or whatever. Eric Kratz comes out of the dugout racing up to get his, you know, his playoff ring or whatever, and just flat out wipes it. I mean, falls down face first with all the crowd, a packed house on a ring ceremony on the opening day. And we all looked at each other and were like, Eric Kratz, that was no accident. There had to be a wager involved with this. So sure enough, from the hotel in Rochester at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, when he's obviously not at the field yet either in Houston, I text him and I say, hey, we're having a conversation, and you got to tell me, how much money did you win for that stunt? And he goes, oh, it was an accident, wink, wink. As far as I know, it was an accident, and as far as anybody else knows, it was an accident. But certainly it was no, but you need, that's the character that you love, guys like that. Those are what builds the bonds. That 2011 team, again, not that talented, but the bonds with the pig that they won at a fair, some stuffed animal that they brought in the dugout every game down the stretch. Guys like Brandon Moss and Delwin Young and Josh Barfield. I mean, personalities that make my job sometimes even better than the wins.
You mentioned Brandon Moss. I want to talk about him in a second. So the rest of the team was, Cesar Hernandez at second, and Freddie Galvis at short, and Michael Franco at third, and Darren Ruff, and Rich Thompson, of course, our favorite all-time Iron Pig in center field. I was shocked that Dominic Brown was named the right fielder.
And why is that, Steve? I'm just curious, because Schaefer and I knew that. I actually thought he wouldn't win, and we thought he was deserving to win. What would be the reasoning
Mainly, how much he got booed at the ballpark.
Yeah, but was it fair? I'll tell you what. Of all the things that have irked me over my time with the Iron Pigs, and I said this on the air several times, even on the TV, filling in on WFMZ Saturday Night Broadcast. But to me, I love the Philly fan. I love that they're so into it. Dominic Brown had great, great offensive numbers as an Iron Pig. Dominic Brown is a big teddy bear, as sweet as a guy as you'll find. You know, you're in the minor leagues for a reason. You know, if he was performing poorly in the major leagues, boo him all you want. If he did something that was a jerk-like nature, you know, he did something to the crowd that was not necessarily fan-friendly, or used some language that wasn't fan-friendly, or made comments about teammates or managers to the media that were over the line. But, yeah, he got booed, so, yeah, it could be a surprise that enough people saw through it. But I think that was one of the most unjust things. The guy has the longest hitting streak in Iron Pig history. He's a 300 hitter. He had power. He could run. He was an all-star in the major leagues, but then it just didn't work out for him. I just never understood why he got booed.
Mm-hmm. I felt very uncomfortable during those games when he would come up to bat and the fans would boo. I just wanted to cringe. It just was not comfortable.
And to his credit, he handled it very professionally. There was absolutely no reaction, and that's what you expect of a professional athlete, just in one ear, out the other.
You know what happened, too? Tom Houssick did a great job. I believe it was Tom Houssick of the Morning Call who went up and talked with Dominic and then put the quote in the paper, online that night and in the paper the next day, that he asked Dominic about it. And Dominic said, you know, my dad told me, you know, or Michael Schmidt said, they don't boo nobodies, you know, using the quote. And he took it like, you know, so to me, I'm almost taking this as a compliment that they're booing me. I'm not going to let it bother me, because if I was just another nobody, they wouldn't boo me and they wouldn't care. Kind of like no news is good news. I guess no booze is bad booze. Or bad news is not. Anyway, you got to take a break. But Dominic Brown deserves to be on there.
Five more minutes.
Okay.
But I actually appreciate you setting the record straight on that, Matt. But now it's time to talk about our most cherished memories over the past 10 years. Maybe I'll let Rosalie go first.
Well, I never thought I would last in a baseball setting for 10 seasons, but here I am, and look forward to the continuation of Iron Pigs. It's been great. I think one of the memorable events for me was celebrating a milestone birthday at the ballpark. The Iron Pigs usually are not home on my birthday in July, and there happened to be a milestone birthday. They were home, and I got to throw out one of the first pitches. So that was very exciting. I really enjoyed that. And the other memorable event was getting to meet Rich Thompson, who was another one of our favorite players for the Iron Pigs. And it was the day that there were T-shirts. You had to vote on which player would have a T-shirt with the name on it. So Rich Thompson was the player, so I had the T-shirt. Got to have it signed, got a picture taken with him. And then a foul ball came up into not our immediate area, but friends of ours sitting a couple sections over, a foul ball had gone over to their territory. And after the game, they came up to me and they gave me this, you know, scuffed up ball. And they said, oh, we had Rich Thompson sign this for you. So it was just a perfect day, very, very enjoyable. So those are just two, but there are many.
Speaking of catching a foul ball, I did it for the first time, after 55 years of watching baseball and not coming close at Coca-Cola Park. We had just moved up to the club level that season, and no great heroics. It hit the wall behind us. It bounced down the steps. It rolled into the seat, into the row behind me, and all I had to do was reach down and pick it up. So that was pretty good.
And usually, whenever those balls come up into the area, there are people, like, I don't know where they come from, but they're there, and they scoop them up, like, faster than you can even just blink.
There's always a kid coming straight from underground.
But I remember this game, and there were, I think the weather wasn't that great, and there weren't so many fans up there around our seats, so it was easy for Steve to get that foul ball.
And Matt?
You know what's funny is I talk about the playoffs all the time because I'm in it for the wins. I mean, there have been so many fun memories. I mean, crazy bus rides. You know, cool conversations with people who have excelled in this game. There's so many. There's, you know, just for me, I was there as a fourth full-time employee to work for the Iron Pigs in December of 06, you know, more than a year and three or more months before opening day and first pitch. So there are so many. But, you know, just that first Iron Pig playoff game at Coca-Cola Park, it was rainy, so it was delayed. We didn't get it started on time. It was cold. It was a Friday night, and there wasn't a ton of people, maybe say 4,700 to 5,000 people for that game because of, you know, high school football, the cold weather, et cetera. But the 5,000 people there made more noise than any 10,100-person sellout, full-capacity crowd we've had. We've had so many over the years because everyone who was there, you know, usually it's, what, 25, 30% there each night there for the baseball, the other 65, 70% there to have a good time, take the kids out, watch fireworks, just have a good evening of family entertainment. But that's like 5,000 people who want to be watching baseball in the cold on a freezing wet night. And, oh, it was deafening. And there's a clip we play sometimes, Steve, you're probably familiar because I know you guys, you and Rosalie, listen, so you might know it. But there's a clip of John Schaefer calling a Mike Zagurski strikeout as maybe a one-run lead. They had a man on third and two outs in the seventh or eighth inning, and it is deafening. I mean, it sounds like a clip you'd hear from a major league post-game show highlight package. It was that good. And I think, to me, just thinking about that environment, that electricity, as a diehard baseball fan, that one hits the spot.
We were there.
and we stayed till the end, actually.
It was very exciting. You didn't feel any electricity like that at any other games other than it was just really the people that were there. We were there. We wanted to be there. And people were cheering. It was just terrific. And
remember the wave? The people waving the service electric towels? And the next night was a bigger crowd. You know, Saturday night, better weather. And you remember we won on a walk-off Brandon Moss hit. So that two walk-off wins are always special.
Brandon Moss is one of those players that I chose for a season to really love. Like, where is he now?
He just signed a big contract, a decent-sized contract to play first base in Kansas City with the Royals. So he's that's the one that got away. You know, we all have our fishing stories and our stories of past girlfriends who went on to big things. But really the one that got away from an Iron Pigs to Phillies, they let Brandon Moss get away, and he's had nothing but a great career. He was an all-star last year, which is great. And he's such a good dude, too. So really happy to see him still thrive now that he's into his 30s.
And the Iron Pigs swept that series in 2011, beating Pawtucket.
Yep.
All right, it's time to take another break before we get to 2017. We're going to listen to some music about opening day as well. Steve Aronson here, along with Rosalie Viscomi and the voice of the Iron Pigs, Matt Province, and corporate sales manager Pete Candianis. And we'll be right back right after this message.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
I counted days in a winter haze since the leaves began to fall. Now it won't be long till the sun comes shining through. When the camps start breaking, my spirit's awakened to an irresistible call of an old American song. It's always new. And the robin is here. The sky is so blue. There's a band, there's music, and the flags are flying too. The grass is so green, it's like never before. It's opening day, I can be a kid once more.
Yes, indeed, opening day for the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs just 2 weeks from today. And what I'd like to do before we get into some of the specifics of the season is to talk about what opening day means to you as both employees and fans. So let's start with Pete.
Well, it's my first full season, my first season working full-time for the Iron Pigs. It's something new for me, doing behind-the-scenes work full-time instead of just going to the press box and timing pitches. But I guess for everybody who's a baseball fan and for anybody who follows baseball, it's, you know, the first signs of spring. Every year's different. Everything's new. And it's like all the songs say, it's there's new grass on the field, right? So, you know, it's time to play baseball. Spring's coming, a renewal, that sort of thing. And I think all baseball fans and all people look forward to the start of baseball season as the start of better weather and the start of good times in the outdoors.
Matt.
you know, I'm going to say, I'm going to default on what I always tell you, which is I'm excited about the actual season because I think we'll be very good. I'm excited to get to know a new manager. I think Dusty Wathan has a great reputation, both for how he's handled players and how he handles fans and people in the front office. He's about my age, so it'll be interesting to see what type of interaction I'll be able to have with a new manager. But it ultimately comes down to the games, and I think our promotion schedule speaks for itself, and that kind of always is a constant. They put together good bobbleheads, good giveaways, good themes. This year they're theming all the fireworks shows to different legendary rock and roll groups, so that'll be a new little twist to try to keep things, as I said earlier, fresh. The video board's exciting, but you know, to see a guy like Dylan Cousins, who's, what, 6'7", hit 40 home runs and stole 20 bases last year, and Reese Hoskins, a big thumper, and J.P. Crawford and Nick Williams, round two, Jorge Alfaro. I mean, there's such a huge reason to be optimistic, not only as an Iron Pigs fan, but the future of the Phillies, which is getting, you know, the future's not as deep into the future now for Philadelphia, let alone the Pigs, that within a year or two, if these guys, half of them pan out to anything where they're supposed to be, Phillies could be back to being a, you know, a dynasty team, at least for 5 years like they were this past run they had. So it all starts this year, Steve, and on April 6th at home against Pawtucket.
You mentioned bobbleheads as one of the categories of giveaways. Pete, who are the subjects of the bobbleheads this year?
Well, two of the big ones are two of our big prospects, Nick Williams and J.P. Crawford. Nick Williams is going to be dressed as a superhero on his bobblehead, but a big one that's going to be of interest to a lot of people, May 11th, Steve Carlton bobblehead night.
And Lefty.
Yep, and I hear he's going to be at Coca-Cola Park the night we bring that out. So May 11th is going to be a big night and a big giveaway.
And it's a nice-looking bobblehead. Lindsay Nutt brought around the bobblehead the other day. It's a good-looking bobblehead. It's got his, you know, pajama blue road uniform, the mustache that he had for a little bit of time there, the flowing hair. It's a good-looking bobblehead.
Absolutely. And opening night, we've got a 10th anniversary fleece. And, you know, for the kids that come out, we've got a Pirates and Princesses night. We've got a lot going on. May 3rd, we've even got two NASCAR drivers, the driver of the number 78.
I was going to ask you about that. Explain that. What's going to be going on that night?
Well, the driver of the number 78, Martin Truex, a New Jersey native, and former NASCAR champion Matt Kenseth, are going to have a Dover versus Pocono charity softball game at Coca-Cola Park pregame. So you'll see two of NASCAR's brightest stars and two really good guys playing softball for charities connected to Dover Raceway and Pocono Raceway.
I noticed in the press release for that media, some local media folks are going to be participating. How about you guys?
We had our own media softball game, too. Pete shined a little bit.
Yeah, I lost an ACL up in the Arctic Circle, so I'm probably not playing a lot of softball. Matt Provins is the staff athlete,
yeah.
I think.
Well, yeah, and I just lost my ACL again, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, so I don't know how much softball the two of us will be playing. We're on the DL, so to speak.
I remember maybe 2 or 3 years ago, when one night you came here for a broadcast, and you had just heard it then too.
Yeah, I've had a good track record. You know, 3 ACL reconstructive surgeries and 1 scope, and potentially a 5th on the way. So, you know what though, but I'll be at the softball game the next year. Just give me some time to get on the mend.
A gritty, tough guy. They can't hold him down.
Now, there's only 2 weeks left until opening day. As it comes closer, what additional preparations are both of you doing to get ready?
Well, it's my first season. I've got a lot to learn. We're busy hiring and getting trained a bunch of young college students to be interns working at Iron at Coca-Cola Park. Young people with sports managements and sales backgrounds come in and help us out, and they learn how a professional sports organization works. They come in early and see the park empty, and then as our guests arrive, they greet them, they help us with various tasks, and they learn these things and take them back to where they're going to school for college credit. And some of our game day interns are now full-time employees for the Iron Pigs, so I'll be working with those folks. There's a lot of boxes out on the concourse right now. We've got a lot of work to do. Somehow it always gets together every year, and we put on a great, memorable experience for every guest, every night, and that's what we want to do. Welcome everybody back to Coca-Cola Park on April 6th.
Any special preparations for you as it gets closer, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting towards the fun time where it's not about, you know, the fence signs and the you know, the ticket plans as much now for guys like John. And for me, it's about, you know, getting information on all the players, the game notes, the media guides. I mean, this is the stuff that we live for. I mean, this is why we do it. So it's always an exciting time. But the preparation really begins earlier because the team comes north now a week from Sunday, or a week from Saturday. So, I mean, these guys are going to be here before you know it. And we'll do some things Sunday with the guys. We'll have to get some internal stuff done, headshots and liners for the radio show. And then, of course, Tuesday we have our media day, which I know you're aware of at the Coca-Cola Park. But usually we do that the Monday before the exhibition game. It's actually on the exhibition day. So it'll be a busy day at the Coca-Cola Park because really for us, even though opening day is Thursday, Steve, everything starts on Tuesday. And that game against Reading, it won't be a full presentation like you see at a normal Iron Pig game. But it's only $5 to get in, free parking, sit where you want down in the lower bowl, and all the ticket sale money, all that money goes to Iron Pig's charities, which we'll touch on. But, yeah, it's a cool night.
And we'll be there. I made sure of it. I kept hounding Steve. I said, Steve, when is the game? When are they playing the Reading Fightin' Phils? Got to find out about it. So he called our ticket rep, and sure enough, that was just going to be sending an email about the game. So we have our tickets, and we'll be there for the Reading. So that starts for me before the opening night. And then we have dinner the next night with the Iron Pigs at the club level. So that's our next event. And then it's opening night. So, yeah.
And the second hot dog of the season. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that 222 showcase. That's been the first year the exhibition game, if I remember, was against the Phillies.
Yeah, we had two that year, one against the Phillies and one against Reading. You know, it hasn't been at Coca-Cola Park in a while because the last time it was here 2 years ago, we got rained out. So it's been quite a while, and it's usually pretty fun because you get to see – now, in the past, Reading had all the prospects, so it was great for us because I got to see the guys that I wish were Iron Pigs. Well, now we have so many that we're excited to see the Iron Pigs, but at the same time, there will be some very good players for Reading. Scott Kingery, a second baseman of the future for the Phillies, will be there. Andrew Pullen, who's hitting the ball beautifully right now. In fact, had two home runs today for the AAA spring training team down in Florida. He'll probably start in Reading. We'll see him. They've got a good-looking catcher in Chance Numata, who's behind guys like Alfaro, Rupp, and Knapp. But, you know, guys that we might not see during the year, here's your chance. And then for guys that we will see, Dylan Cousins in an Iron Pig uniform, Reese Hoskins in an Iron Pig uniform for $5. Even if it's cold, go for a couple of innings. Sign me up. It goes to charity.
Just bring a blanket.
who's managing the Fightin' Phils now?
A guy by the name of Greg Legg, who's been in the system for quite some time. Legger, as they call him.
We do have listeners now in Reading, so I'm glad we got to talk about their prospects. Our signal tripled since the last time you've been here, Matt.
Nice.
We are reaching further west, and so
it's like the Nick Williams of radio signals, right? He led us in triples last year, and he got the Nick Williams signal tripling.
Wouldn't be a broadcast with Matt Province without a little wordplay here.
That one out over Redding getting a leg up on the competition. I thought it might be too soon, but evidently now I've dropped it anyway.
Well, we're coming towards the end of the program, but. I think the main thing to talk about now is what might the lineup look like on opening day, Matt?
Well, you know, where they bat, I'm not going to take a huge speculation,
infield, position players, yeah.
Jorge Alfaro might be the talented of all Phillies catching prospects. He was the headliner in the trade for Cole Hamels, even though the other guys have done so well with, you know, obviously what you've seen from Jake Thompson and Alec Asher and Jared Eichhoff, who's become a real stabilizing force for the Phillies. But Alfaro, believe it or not, supposedly the best of them. So you'll have him catching, never played AAA baseball. First baseman Reese Hoskins, who is second in all of minor league baseball in home runs with 38 to his teammate, who is a likely opening day outfielder for the Pigs in Dylan Cousins. Jesmel Valentin picked it up towards the end of last year and he's the only guy that had RBIs in our postseason
run last year. He was impressive.
He'll be your second baseman. J.P. Crawford back at short. Still one of the top prospects in baseball. Third base is up in the air. It looks like Featherston will be back. And they brought in a kid from Korea, Hector Gomez, who's an infielder, a left side of the infield player, but he looks like a defensive lineman. he was, for me, the most fun guy to watch in batting practice when we were doing the Phillies games down there. 6'3", 230, big bopper. So hopefully he'll get some time in the Valley. I mentioned Cousins in the outfield. People will fall in love with Roman Quinn as long as he stays healthy. And if he does stay healthy, I don't think he'll be here all that long. But Roman Quinn looks to be the center fielder. And then your right fielder would be Nick Williams again. Designated hitter, you got a kind of platoon between probably Knapp and Brock Stassi, two guys that had, and Cam Perkins, three guys that had very good years last year, three guys that are still in the Phillies' plans, but there's just a lack of spots right now. And that's why we need 162 games, not going the other way. We want more games.
The more the merrier. Alfaro and Roman Quinn did have a brief stays with the Phillies last year, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They bypassed us, and Quinn did very well. Alfaro held his own. And you know, as exciting as that lineup is, I'm talking about these position players, and they're all in the who's top 10 and who's top whatevers, but our pitching might even be stronger than our hitting, at least the starters anyway. I mean, that could be where the Iron Pigs really win some games, especially early on when the weather's so cold.
I want to talk briefly about Iron Pigs charities and what they do. And I understand there are going to be 5 jersey auctions this year that commensurate with the activities of the charities.
Yeah, the Iron Pigs support a variety of charities here in the area, youth sports sort of charities. You know, I don't know that everybody knows this, but the Iron Pigs charities recently eclipsed the $1 million mark that we've given away, which is unheard of in minor league baseball. It's a great, vibrant organization, and it's supported by our tremendous fans, and our corporate sponsors are very, very generous and give us an opportunity to help an awful lot of people here in the Lehigh Valley. And Iron Pigs Charities has just been a great partner, a great entity here in the Lehigh Valley, joined in the community, and is really making a positive impact here in the Valley.
And there are going to be some jersey auctions associated with that this year?
Oh, certainly. All year we have the charity jersey auctions wearing superhero jerseys, things of that nature, and then the players take them off and hand them to the fans after they're autographed. The fans vote. The fans bid on them during the game, and then the players hand them to the fans. It's a great, popular element that we have this year, and it goes to a great cause.
We actually won one a couple of years ago with Brian Gosev. Help me say.
Oh, Bogusevich. Yeah. Which one was it?
Superhero.
Oh yeah. Was that the 2015? That was the Batman one.
Captain America.
Oh, Captain America. That's right. Batman was the year before. This year, by the way, Spider-Man.
Oh.
Okay.
In case you're wondering. In case you're curious.
Well, did we miss anything?
Yeah. How to get tickets?
Yeah. IronPigsBaseball.com. We picked a fight with the Fresno Grizzlies. Supposedly they're a baseball team out in California. Go to baconversetacos.com and vote for the Iron Pigs. Losing team is going to wear the other team's hat at a game, and I'm pretty sure out in Fresno they're going to be wearing an Iron Pigs hat. So baconversetacos.com, vote for bacon.
Okay, I guess we can do a little political stuff here.
They started it, Steve.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Matt Provins, voice of the Iron Pigs, and corporate partnership manager Pete Candianis, and Rosalie Viscomi, number one Iron Pigs fan. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We love doing this every year, and hopefully come the end of September, early October, we'll be have you back and be talking about a championship. What do you say?
Amen to that.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Go Iron Pigs.
All right. Okay,
we're going to go out this evening playing some music in honor of Matt Provins and John Schaefer and all of their colleagues who paint such beautiful pictures on the radio. Thanks so much for listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse.
That man again. echoes glide. The men at the mics made it come alive. Ernie and Mel, and Bob was a prince of a guy. Out of thin air, pictures somehow appeared. You could smell the hot dogs and taste the beer. You felt the excitement as the crowd began to cheer. And it was play by play on the radio. Play by play on the radio. Play by play, I saw it on the radio. Play by play, I saw it on the radio.
Thank you for listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley.